We have the cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your blackheads, sniff some borax, and enjoy this episode of Escape entitled Papa Benjamin.
You are groping down a dark alleyway in the French Quarter of New Orleans, driven by terror, hounded by the curse of the Papaloi, a curse from which there is no escape.
Escape, produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and carefully contrived to free you from the four walls of today. For a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight we escape into two worlds. One of modern jazz, the other of primitive voodoo. And to a doomed man who brought them together. As William Irish imagined it in his eerie story, Papa Benjamin.
Police Department, 4th Precinct, Sergeant Tolliver speaking. Yeah? Well, pick him up on a drunk 723. Right. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Are you in charge here?
Yeah. Hey, aren't you Eddie Block, the band leader?
That's right.
Hey, Joe, look who's here, Eddie Block.
Well, never thought we'd get a visit from a big celebrity like you, Mr. Block. And at 4 o'clock in the morning. I suppose, though, this is just the shank of the evening for a big shot orchestra leader.
Well, what can we do for you, Mr. Block?
I've just killed a man.
You're kidding.
I tell you, I've just killed a man.
I guess you've been working too hard, Mr. Block. You're imagining things.
Here's the gun. Look at it.
Now, sit down, Mr. Block. Better have a drink of water. You'll feel better.
No. I'm all right.
Sarge?
Yeah?
This gun's been used all right. Smell.
Was it an accident, Mr. Block?
No.
Well, who'd you use it on? Who was it?
I don't know his name. They call him Papa Benjamin.
Sounds lucky.
Yeah, white man?
No, he was a Negro.
Oh, well, now, here in New Orleans...
No. It was nothing like that.
Well, what was he doing to you?
He was killing me.
Huh?
Killing you? But how?
Look at me. I used to weigh 200 pounds. I'm down to 102.
Well, how? How was he killing you?
Would you believe in anything you can't see, can't hear, can't touch?
Well...
I've been to the biggest doctors in the world. They don't believe me. How can I expect you to? I simply say I'm cracked and let it go at that. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in an asylum.
Ah, look, Mr. Block. You say he was a Negro named Papa Benjamin.
Yeah, he was an old man. 80, maybe 90. Skin and bones, he could hardly walk. And I shot him.
You sure? You sure you killed him?
Yeah, of course.
Well, where?
I don't know exactly. In a little back alley in the Vieux Carré. Near Congo Square.
Supposing you take us there. Can you do that? Then maybe we'll find out this is just a bad dream.
This is the alley. To the right, between the buildings.
All right, let's go. You pack, Sarge.
And catch cold without it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back there, honey.
Quiet, you.
Oh, cops.
Nice neighborhood.
This is it. In that door and up the stairs.
Come on.
Oh, no. Don't make me go up there again, please.
Better come, Mr. Block. You're showing us.
Hey, flash your light. There's somebody here on the stairs.
Huh? Where is he?
He won't bother us. Dead drunk. Step over him and let's go. This ain't the most pleasant neighborhood to come crawling in.
This it?
Yeah. In that door.
Come on.
Better call a commissioner. Mr. Block wasn't kidding. This man stayed.
But why? Why?
Because he was killing me, Commissioner.
It was self-defense.
He never came near me once. I was the one who went to him. I offered him $3,000, $10,000, any amount, and he refused. Finally, I offered him my gun and asked him to shoot me with it, to get it over with quickly, not to drag it out any longer.
Then when he said no, you shot him.
Yeah. So you can lock me up now.
Mr. Block, do you think we want to hang a murder rap on you, one of the most popular celebrities in the United States? Use your head. Now, I'm trying to find an out for you.
He was killing me.
Look, an 80-year-old colored man who's so feeble he can't even go upstairs by himself, who has to have his food pulled up to him in a basket, is killing who? A stumble bum his own age? No. Mr. Eddie Block, the top band leader of America, who can name his own price anyway, who has about everything a man can want. Tell me just one thing, Mr. Block. How was he killing you?
By thinking thought waves of death that reached me through the air.
Now, Mr. Block...
You want to hush the whole thing up, don't you?
No. No, Mr. Block. But I'm going to get the whole story. So you might as well start telling me from the beginning.
All right. Began one night about 2 years ago. We were playing at Maxim's on Charles Street. We were just another band. Small Dixieland outfit then. Eddie Block and his chips. Judy Jarvis, my wife, did the vocals. But we weren't setting the world on fire. Business was so bad, I knew what to expect when I got a call from the manager one night after closing time.
Come in. Oh, hi, Eddie.
I thought we'd better have a little talk.
Ah, it's that bad, huh?
We took in $4,500 this week.
Yeah, I see. And you can cancel my contract anytime it falls under $5,000. I get it.
Eddie, they can get the same liquor and sandwiches anywhere, but they'll go where the band has something. Tonight there were more waiters in the place than customers. Judy didn't even get a hand.
It's not her fault.
I know it's not her fault. She's okay, but... Well, I'm asking you, what's wrong?
I don't know. I'm getting the latest arrangement sent to me from New York. We sweat our heads bald rehearsing.
Well, this is New Orleans, practically the cradle of jazz. You gotta give them something new.
Yeah, I know. When do I leave?
Now, finish the week up. See if you can do something about it by Monday. If not, I'll have to wear St. Louis to get Kruger's band. I'm sorry, Eddie.
Oh, that's okay. You're not running a charity bazaar. But I didn't feel so cocky about it. It looked like we were on the skids. The band just didn't seem to have it. And I wasn't good enough to figure out why and pull him out of it. I was feeling pretty low when I went back to the deserted bandstand to pick up some music. The place was dark and empty, except for a couple of scrub women cleaning up. A dark nightclub can be an eerie place sometimes. I got that feeling just before I saw it. I saw it lying on the floor between the stands. Was a severed chicken claw with a red ribbon tied around it. I almost laughed. How did that thing get there? Then I picked it up and tossed it out of the floor where the scrub women were cleaning up. I certainly wasn't expecting the reaction I got. They took one look, turned, and ran out. I just recovered from that surprise and was bending down to pick up some music that had slipped to the floor when I heard someone come in. I guess I was pretty well hidden from view. Anyway, he didn't see me. It was Johnny Statz, my drummer, and he was acting funny, looking intently at the floor, searching for something. Suddenly, he spotted this chicken claw on the floor and grabbed it up with a terrific sigh of relief, stuffed it into his pocket, and walked out. What I did then, I did on a strange impulse, and it changed the whole course of my life. I followed Johnny Statz. I suppose I just meant to catch up with him and have a cup of coffee with him somewhere and ask about the chicken claw. But as I followed him farther and farther down into the Vieux Carré, down to Congo Square, it was a growing curiosity that kept me on his trail. When he turned into that dark alleyway, I stopped and debated. I felt like an eavesdropper, and yet something drew me on. And I walked up that dark alley. I passed that one lighted window.
Don't go no further, honey.
But I went on, through a sort of tunnel into another alleyway, and then I stopped. Ahead of me, Johnny Statz stood before a dark, dismal-looking old wreck of a building. Suddenly, he whistled quietly. A gigantic man appeared out of the shadows. Johnny handed him the chicken claw and was motioned into the building. And then I heard sounds coming from the upstairs of that building. A throbbing drum, a wailing, an unearthly sound, and yet wonderful. An exotic, fascinating rhythm. This was music. Something new, something sensational, something that would set New Orleans on its ear and put Eddie Block in the big time. I had to get in there and hear it. I was mighty busy for the next 5 minutes. I ran back down the alley, overturning 5 or 6 garbage cans before I found what I needed. Then back to that lighted window in the alley and a 5-spot in exchange for a red ribbon. Then I was back at the dark building, walking up to that menacing shadow.
Light up. Let me see your face.
Okay, okay. Easy with that knife. My ribs are tender.
Your face never been here before.
My friend Johnny Statz up there. He'll tell you.
Mr. Johnny, your friend? He asked you to come?
This chicken claw told me to come.
Papa Benjamin sent you that?
Certainly. You'll make me late. Papa Benjamin won't like that.
All right, go along in. First thing you know, all New Orleans gonna be coming around.
I groped up the stairs, half expecting to feel his knife in my back. But I got to the top safely. Cautiously, I opened the door and slipped in.
Ila Kantu. Damba Lai Kantu.
Come in here, you.
Yaya Damba Yaya Oh. Yaya Damba Yaya Oh.
Come in here, nobody.
Damba.
The room was full of people. They were in such a state of frenzy, I wasn't even noticed. I slipped into a corner and slid down by the wall, sitting on the floor. That was a sight I'll never forget. Wild, fantastic, hideous, revolting, fascinating. In the center of the room was an incredibly old man, naked to the waist, wearing a hideous mask, and holding a live chicken. There were wild gestures, weird incantations, frantic dancing, shouting, rolling of eyes. And there was blood. And always there was the chant. Nobody noticed me. After a moment, I took a piece of copy paper out of my pocket and began putting down the notes. It was wonderful. Fantastic and wonderful. In 10 minutes, I had it. And I'd seen enough for a lifetime of nightmares. I began to feel sick. I wanted to get out. I started to stand up. Suddenly, the room went dead.
A stranger is here.
His bony arm stretched out straight from the shoulder, pointing at me like an arrow. And there was blood on it.
What you do here?
I
know this man. Let me find out.
No one moved. There was no sound in the room as Johnny Statz came over and squatted beside me.
You're in terrible trouble, Eddie. I don't know if I can get you out of it.
What is this, Statz? What are you doing here?
There's no time to talk now. You've got to do something quick or you'll be a dead man.
Why? I'm in the very heart of New Orleans. They wouldn't dare.
Listen, you've seen enough tonight. You know better. Eddie, there's only one way.
What?
Join, become one of us.
Oh,
it's the only way, Eddie. I can't save you. You'd better hurry up, because unless you do, you'll never get out of here alive. You know what this is, don't you? This is voodoo.
Okay, sure, I'll join up. Why not?
Wait a minute, Eddie. There's a lot more to it than you think. Unless you're serious, it'd be better to get cut to pieces right now.
All right, don't worry. I'm serious.
All right. Hopaloy, his spirit wishes to join our spirits.
The old man burned some feathers while the others watched silently. Then he nodded.
It came out all right. He reads them. The spirits are willing.
There were other things. Rituals, ceremonies, another sacrifice. Then as the chanting started again, they brought me the sacrificial bowl. I didn't have to be told what was in it. I started to draw back.
Drink, Eddie, drink, or they'll kill you on the spot.
Late next morning, the band assembled at Maxim's for a rehearsal. When Johnny Statz got there, he found another drummer sitting in his place. Naturally, he came to me.
What's all this about, Eddie?
I don't want any voodoo lover in my band, that's all, Statz. Here's a check for 2 weeks' salary.
So you're crossing him, are you? Boy, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for all the gold in Fort Knox.
If you mean that bad dream last night, I haven't told anybody and I won't. I'd be laughed at. I'm only remembering what I can use of it. The jungle is just trees to me, the Congo a river, and the nighttime is just a time for electric lights.
Yeah, but this new number you're going to rehearse this morning.
I said I'd remember what I can use.
Listen, Eddie, that chant is sacred. It's secret.
It was secret.
Eddie, don't do it.
Look, here's a couple of C notes. Hand them these. That ought to pay up my dues from now to doomsday, and I don't want a receipt. And if they try putting poison in my orange juice, they'll end up in a chain gang.
It's not that easy, Eddie. You're one of us
now. Oh, get out.
Okay. Goodbye, dead man.
Graham, the manager of the club, changed his mind about canceling our contract when he heard us rehearse the chant. Instead, he spent 5 G's in publicity. And Saturday night was set for the big unveiling. It seemed like all New Orleans tried to jam into Maxim's, came to hear the voodoo chant, the real thing. Just before we were ready to hit it, Judy came up to me.
Eddie, listen. Let's not do it.
Oh, what do you mean, baby, not do it? This is it. This is our ticket to the big time. It'll be a sensation.
Yeah, I know, but I got a funny feeling. And look, I found this under your dressing room door just now. It sounds like a warning. Somebody doesn't want you to play that number.
Let me see. You can summon the spirits, but can you dismiss them again? Think well. Forget it, baby. Statz is trying to scare me because I fired him.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, come on, honey, let's go. They're waiting.
Maxim takes great pleasure in bringing you a historic moment in musical history. You're about to hear for the first time anywhere the voodoo chant, the age-old ceremonial rhythm no one but the initiated has ever heard before. This is the real thing, an accurate transcription, not a note's been changed. So, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Block and his chips present for the first time anywhere, the voodoo chant.
They screamed for more, but we were playing it cagey. Once a night, that'd pack them in. After it was over, I went back to our dressing room. Judy got there before me. She was reading a newspaper somebody had brought in.
Eddie, listen.
Oh, baby, you were wonderful, and we wowed them. We're in the money
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Eddie, but...
Boy, am I tired. I feel more tired than I've ever felt in my life. Nervous strain, I guess, huh? Let down?
Eddie, look here in the paper.
Oh, who cares about the paper now?
Eddie, It's Johnny Stets.
Huh?
He's dead. He drowned himself in Lake Pontchartrain this afternoon.
This afternoon? Then that note, it wasn't Johnny.
Oh, well, look, Eddie, you can't blame yourself.
Me? Oh, no. No, of course not, but I think I know who to blame.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Eddie, why don't you lie down and rest for a few minutes? You look worn out.
Yeah, I am. I feel dead.
Here, let me take off your coat.
Oh, be careful.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Funny thing, while I was waving the baton on the chant, I felt something, a sharp pain there in my back, like a pin or something stuck in me.
I don't feel anything there now. Maybe it slipped down.
I don't know.
Couldn't have been much. There. Now, you just lie down. You'll feel better in a few minutes. You've been working too hard. You should relax now. Maybe take a few days off. Hey, Eddie, look here. Where did this come from?
What?
It's a little doll. It was lying on the dressing table. Why, Eddie, it looks just like you.
Let me see.
That's funny. Look, there in the back. There's a little pin sticking in the back.
Yes. That's right where I felt the pain. That started it. The next day, I had a backache. Later, there was a numbness that spread to my shoulders, arms, legs. I felt tired all the time, listless, dead. I began to lose weight. I couldn't get Johnny Stets out of my mind. He'd introduced me to them, vouched for me, and he'd committed suicide. He knew. He hadn't waited. I decided to get out of New Orleans. I went to New York, playing the chant, of course. I had to. It was my biggest asset now. But nothing changed. I was losing weight, from a husky 200 down to 160. I couldn't sleep. Maybe if I put a notion between. I took an offer in London, toured the continent, away a year. I was an international hit now, the biggest attraction in music. But I was down to 110, dying on my feet. The doctors couldn't figure it out. Reynolds in London told me.
You're as normal, Mr. Block, as anyone I ever examined. You're so well balanced that you haven't even got that extra little touch of imagination most actors and musicians have.
I guess that's true, Doctor. I'm just mediocre. And yet, you might say, my success is killing me. And so, after 2 years, I finally realized it was no use. I came back. Back to New Orleans. Back to the dark alleyway down near Congo Square. I could just barely drag myself along. But I had to see Papa Benjamin. I slowly climbed the stairs up to that loathsome door. I went in. There he was. Papa Benjamin. Staring at me from the bed as if he'd been expecting me. Then he started to laugh. Take that curse off me. Give me my life back. I'll do anything you say.
What been done cannot be undone. You think spirits of earth, air, fire, water know what forgiveness means?
Intercede for me, then. You brought it about. Here's money. I'll give you twice as much. All I earn. All I ever hope to earn.
You have fouled the Obaya. Death has been on you from that night. All over the world, in the air above, you have mocked spirit with the chant that summons him.
And please, here's a gun. Kill me now and be done with it. I can't stand anymore. All you have to do is shoot. I'll write a note, sign it, that I did it myself.
Death will come, but different. Slow. Oh, slow.
Oh, no. I can't stand it. I won't. Maybe if I kill you. Maybe then the spell will be broken.
No.
Yeah, that's...
No.
I'll kill you.
No.
Thank you. And that's all, Commissioner. Then I came here. To the police station. You know the rest. Well?
All right, Mr. Block.
Don't believe me, do you?
Yes, I believe you. Not about the curse, of course. That was your own mind. They planted the suggestion in your mind, you did the rest. But it's plain that you killed in self-defense. Crazy kind of self-defense, but I think we can manage it. We'll try.
The commissioner managed it all right. How is almost a story in itself. How a detective with a moulage false face posed as Papa Benjamin and called the Voodoo Clan together and into a trap. How they collected the evidence that proved my story. And how they sent most of that voodoo bunch to jail. My name wasn't even connected with the case. So now I'm free. I'm living again. I've gained weight. The tiredness and the numbness is gone. I took a nice vacation. I went to Bermuda, relaxed, and had fun. Now I'm back in New Orleans at Maxim's, and the whole thing is forgotten. We're opening tonight, and the place is packed. Everybody's come to hear the chant. Eddie Block and the chant. We're on our way now. Nothing can stop us.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back on his triumphal return, Eddie Block and his chips, playing for you the one and only Voodoo Chant.
Look at them, Judy. They're eating it up, aren't they?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I was hoping I'd never hear this thing again.
What do you mean? It's your trademark, yours and Eddie's.
I tried to persuade him not to do it, and he wouldn't listen.
Why? You aren't imagining all that voodoo stuff.
I don't know. It was all in his mind, and it nearly killed him. I don't think you can put it out of your mind and forget so easy. When Eddie plays it again...
Oh, nonsense.
Hey, wait a minute. Look at Eddie. There's something wrong.
What? Oh, he's staggering.
Eddie!
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 Judy, now wait. Here, let me pick him up. He's probably just fainted from the excitement.
No. No, leave him alone. He's dead. I guess Papa Benjamin won after all.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and tonight brought you Papa Benjamin by William Irish, adapted for radio by John Dunkel, with Frank Lovejoy as Eddie Block, Louis Van Ruten as Papa Benjamin, Harry Bartell as the police commissioner, and Joan Banks as Judy. Music was conceived and conducted by Cy Feuer. Next week...
You are speeding through the night on the Eastern Bull Express. You're alone and unarmed. And suddenly you realize that your life is in danger, that somewhere on the train are deadly killers from whom you must escape.
Next week, we escape with Harold Lamb's exciting adventure story, Three Good Witnesses. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when again we offer you Escape. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Presented napkins at a restaurant. If you don't, then you have mental issues.
Yes, Hughes. Welcome back to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Now enjoy this episode of The Saint entitled The Corpse Search.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
I'm not home. It's the middle of the night and I'm asleep. I'm in Schenectady, sitting up with a sick aunt. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Simon Templer?
Well, come in and we'll compare Social Security cards.
Thank you. I thought you were in Schenectady.
Never heard of the place.
Sitting up with a sick aunt.
She recovered suddenly.
Simon, I need help. Desperately.
Why?
Because I'm dead.
You're what?
Dead.
Oh, well, of course, some of my best friends...
Simon, my name is Francis Blake. Here, read this.
Read?
That little item down in the corner, under obituaries.
Obituaries? Says here that the body of Francis Blake is at the Restwell Chapel... Burial at noon tomorrow.
You see, the newspapers say that I'm dead.
Yeah, but I don't know whether to believe them or not. You are Francis Blake?
Oh, of course I am.
Hmm. Come here a moment.
All right.
Thank you. Now...
Simon, what are you... Ah, ouch!
I beg your pardon.
You pinched me.
Yes?
But...
Well, I had to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
But you're supposed to pinch yourself if you think you're dreaming.
I know, but this way was more fun. Also, I never heard a corpse say ouch before. Therefore, you're not dead.
I already knew that.
I didn't. Now that that's settled, I think perhaps we ought to go visit.
Visit whom?
Your corpse.
Taxi! Hey, your nice brain up bright.
Never mind, Louis.
Oh, Mr. Templer, had I have known it was you, I wouldn't have bothered with the whims.
Had I known it was you, I just wouldn't have bothered. However, Francis...
Thank you.
Louis should perhaps be explained. He's a cab driver I try to avoid. I rarely succeed. Which proves to me that my life isn't all that it should be.
Keep it clean. And where at this hour of the night are you going?
The Restwell Chapel.
Get another cab.
Louis.
Okay, okay. Some sport. Takes a girl to see a funeral parlor in the middle of the night.
I'm merely taking her home.
She lives in a funeral parlor?
She's dead in a funeral parlor.
Who's dead?
Miss Blake.
Huh?
Me.
Excuse me, but
Louis,
I got...
Louis, don't take
I
your hands
just
off
gonna...
the wheel. I already did.
Yes, so?
She said ouch.
Personally, I would have liked to find out for myself, but if you say so...
I do.
I'll take your word for it. Only how are you going to explain to the funeral parlor her riding around in cabs with you?
Simple. I am apparently the kind of a man a girl wouldn't mind being seen dead with.
Well, Chapel at your service.
Louis.
I know. Wait. But I'm telling you one thing, considering the type of company you're keeping, I ain't waiting till nobody plays no hot licks on a trumpet.
Well, I don't think you'll have to. Come along, Francis.
All right. I've been trying to pretend to myself that it's all some kind of a joke, but That funeral parlor looks too real.
We'll find out soon enough. One nice thing about funeral parlors, they're always open.
That you call nice?
She have a point there. Ooh, listen to that doorbell. Chopin, at least.
Ah.
I beg your pardon?
I said, ah.
Ah. Come in, Francis.
This is an hour that comes to all.
Except in states that don't have daylight saving.
I, sir, was referring to your bereavement. Whom are you mourning?
We would like to look at Francis Blake.
The hour is late, but grief knows no clock.
Good heavens, an epigram.
We try, sir. If you'll follow me.
Thank you.
Ah, here we are. And there she is. Beautiful, isn't she?
Very.
Simon, she does look like me.
A little bit, but hardly enough to explain. How did she get here?
Miss Blake? Mm. The police brought her.
Oh, I see. Who identified her?
Well, that was hardly necessary. Her coat over there in the corner.
Simon!
Wait a minute, Francis. What about her coat?
It had her name on the label. Now I shall withdraw. You will want to be alone with your grief.
All right, but make a sound withdrawing, please. So we'll know you're withdrawn?
Oh, really, sir, it's no use jesting. The dead never laugh.
Well, he's withdrawn.
Simon, that's my coat. It is mine, Simon, but look.
Yes, two holes in the front of it, bullet holes.
Bullet holes?
The girl here, whoever she is, was murdered. Come on, we better get out.
All right, but I'm taking my coat.
I don't think...
It's mine, not hers. It belongs to me, even though she was murdered in it. Simon, what was that girl doing with my coat?
Wearing it when she was shot, presumably.
But...
There's another question, perhaps a more important one. Why was she shot in the first place?
I suppose she had enemies.
Have you?
Back again?
Yeah, we're back again. Francis.
Oh, thank you.
The little lady lost her place?
Francis, where do you live?
The Thornton Towers.
Louis.
I heard.
Simon, back there. Why did you ask if I had any enemies?
The coat's a distinctive one.
Well, it's a very colorful plaid.
Yes, the girl back at the funeral parlor was murdered while wearing it. The question comes to, was her wearing the coat when she was killed merely a coincidence, or was she killed because her murderer thought she was, you? Here you are, Louis, and...
I know. Don't wait. On account of your sitting up with a dead friend.
Good night, Louis.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Oh, Simon, it's so good to be back home. My apartment's down the corridor. Simon, I feel terrible.
Oh, you needn't.
But what you said in the cab... She was wearing my coat, a very distinctive one. And then she was shot to death. That girl is dead because of me.
No, we don't really know that.
Well, it must be so. Somebody thought she was me and killed her.
That's possible.
But then, that means that somebody wants to kill me.
Is this your door?
Oh, yes.
Of course, it's also possible that someone didn't like the coat and... Hey, did you leave your lights on when you left?
No.
There's a light in the room ahead.
Well, that's the living room.
You stay here in the hall. I'll go ahead and see who it is.
But
I just want to make sure they're neutral on the subject of plaid coats or you. Shh.
Oh. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, how she was beautiful, your wife.
My what?
Your wife.
It's her picture on the desk there, no?
Well, there does seem to be a picture of Frances.
And your name, she is?
My name's Simon.
Ah, it is a name that fills herself with the soul, no?
No,
I knew that tonight, of all nights, you would be lonely.
Believe me, I'm not lonely.
I am here. Oh, your wife, she must have been a wonderful woman.
She,
Your life with her was the magnificent symphony, no?
Chamber music would probably be more accurate if you...
And were. Now that she is alas gone, I am here.
Without even a pause for station identification. Look, who are you?
I am Olga.
Simon, who is she?
Olga.
Who is she?
Frances. And now that you two have met...
Waiting a moment, huh? Aha. I look on the picture. I look on the flash.
The what?
The flash, of which I might adding your wife is perhaps carrying a little too much here and there. Especially there.
Now, just a minute.
Mustn't point, Olga. Bad manners.
But I am seeing your wife. She is not dead.
She isn't. That is, Frances isn't. If you like, you could try pinching her.
I never pinch. Except boys.
Oh.
Simon, you are disappointing me. Goodbye.
Well, that was quite a performance.
Personally, I didn't care for her cadenza.
Oh, I don't know. It was a nice cadenza, and the tutti was definitely fruity. Hmm. That is, Frances, the whole thing was camouflaged.
For what?
Take a look at the room.
The room? Oh!
Yes, it looks as if a junior hurricane had visited it.
You mean somebody of Olga searched the room?
Uh-huh. This one and, yeah, the bedroom as well.
But, Simon, what was she looking for?
I don't know. Whatever it was, she didn't find it. Our entrance stopped her search.
Well, I'd better start straightening things up a bit.
Good idea. I'll help you.
Well, shouldn't you be going home?
Oh, I don't think so. You may get some more visitors later on and rougher ones than Olga.
Why?
Well, maybe they'll tell us if we ask them prettily. In the meanwhile...
Yes, Simon?
We can practice the overture to that symphony Olga mentioned.
Simon.
Yes?
It's getting awfully late.
Yes, I know.
We really can't sit up all night waiting for someone to come. We don't even know for sure that someone will.
Olga got into this apartment, and someone else did before her.
Someone else?
Of course. Your coat was stolen, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose, but not from the apartment, Simon.
Not from... Where was it stolen from?
Well, I can't be sure, of course, but I gave that coat to the cleaning shop down the block about a week ago.
Cleaning shop?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
The Carter Cleaners. Why?
Because evidently it started out from there to wind up on a murdered girl's body. Therefore, come on.
We're gonna...
Yes, believe it or not, I'm taking you to the cleaners. Louis, I thought I told you not to wait.
This is a free country?
Yes,
there's a parking limit on this here curb, maybe?
No, but...
I waited.
But we're only going down the block a little bit.
You can't afford a quarter?
I like to walk.
What do you get from walking?
Exercise.
Uh-huh, and from exercise, an enlarged heart. From an enlarged heart, you know how many people each year drop dead?
Add them up. We're walking. Come on, Francis.
Simon, you're worried.
Moderately, about all those people with enlarged hearts. This is the place, huh?
Yes.
Front door is shut, but there's a light inside. Let's try. It's locked, however.
I think someone's coming.
Recognize him?
Yes. Yes, that's Mr. Maxson, the manager.
Oh, what do you want?
Do you mind if we come in?
Look, it may have escaped your attention, but it happens to be after 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you want to come in?
The rain.
It's not raining.
But suppose it starts
I here. Happen to be a very tired man.
You should go home earlier.
I shouldn't be bothered by drunks.
I'm not drunk. We've stopped by for Miss Blake's coat.
Coat?
The plaid.
As I may have mentioned before, we are not open for business.
And then what are you doing here?
I'm crazy about carbon tetrachloride fumes.
I'd still like the coat.
Oh? Then please do stop by in the morning.
Simon, why did you...
I wanted to find out if the cleaning store knew the plaid coat was gone.
But we didn't find out, did we?
No, nevertheless, we've worried Mr. Maxson. Thank heaven Louie's handy. Hey, Louie! Louie!
You give up, huh?
Yeah. Into the cab, Francis.
All right.
Name your destination, Mr. Templer.
A very long trip.
Yeah?
Drive to the back of the cleaning store. You'll probably have to go around the block. That alley must lead there.
Okay.
But, Simon, why are we going to the back of the store? Because we're going in?
No, because I suspect Mr. Maxson is going out.
All this here is maybe none of my business.
It isn't.
Oh, you know, a remark like that could easily hurt a fellow's feelings.
I'm sorry.
No, it didn't hurt mine.
I'm sorrier still.
But you're not spending this PM in the way a PM should be spent.
Nonsense. So far, it's all been good, clean fun.
That's what I mean.
Simon, Mr. Maxson hasn't come out of the store yet.
No, he may be coy, however.
But why should he have anything to do with anything?
He shouldn't, but it's very possible that...
Simon!
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Maxson is shutting up shop. Coming down the back alley, which confirms something or other.
You mean if he weren't hiding something, he wouldn't use the back way?
Perhaps. We're far enough away from the alley for him not to notice. Look, he's turning the corner. Louis.
I am alert. Not for nothing was I a Boy Scout. Although, actually, what I was a Boy Scout for was a certain Girl Scout.
Hold it a minute. He's getting into that...
He's a villain. That's a convertible. Everybody knows only villains ride around in convertibles.
He started. Louis.
Here we go.
Hey, look. Maxson's stopping.
Yeah, I better stop right here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Simon, he's going into that nightclub.
Interesting place for a store manager to finish his evening's work. Let's go, Francis.
Leave me know how the floor show is.
I'll be sure to.
Barker's Bandbox. I've heard of the club.
Yeah, and I've heard of Barker. Nothing complimentary either. Well, here it is, and in we go. Dark, crowded, and needs ventilation. The floor show? Emphasis on show.
Simon, Mr. Maxson's over there.
Yeah, ducking out of the door near the piano. Let's follow in his shifty footsteps, huh?
Gee, I hope nobody notices it.
With what's going on, or rather coming off, I don't think so.
Oh, it's so dark in this hallway.
Yeah, listen.
I can't hear what they're saying.
We can get a little closer.
Simon.
Now, wait a minute, Barker.
Mug, I've been waiting long enough. Where are the stones?
I told you, the girl disappeared.
I know what you told me. Don't give me the stones. Now, suppose you tell me where the stones are.
I don't know where they are.
Stones.
Yeah, Barker's
look,
got quite a reputation as a crook of various kinds. Stones are jewelry, and unquestionably stolen jewelry.
Having fun, fellas?
Oh!
Hope I didn't frighten you, lady, coming up behind you, two nosy people like this.
That was her asthma.
Yeah. This here's a rod.
How cute. Could I see it?
Let go.
Simon, I've got his gun.
Yeah, and I've got a fist. Let's see what happens. How gratifying. I hit him and he fell down.
Jake!
Come on. All that could happen to us in here...
Jake!
...would be fatal.
They fired at us.
Yeah, I know. It's always a little nervous-making. Well, here we are.
Thanks, Simon.
No, not yet. I'm going in with you.
But...
No, for safety.
Oh. You think maybe...
I'm just not taking any chances. Well, foyer's all right. Living room. Francis.
What?
Don't look across the room. Olga's back, but this time she's staying.
What do you mean?
I hope you wouldn't see her. She isn't beautiful anymore.
Oh, no. Just dead.
I better phone the police.
Wait, Simon. You know this thing started with Francis Blake being dead.
But it wasn't Francis Blake. It was another girl.
And then someone else got killed. Olga.
Still not Francis Blake.
But Simon, the next time, do you think maybe it will be?
Good night, Lieutenant. Thanks for dropping on. And exit Alga, exit police. Francis.
Yes, Simon.
You better go to bed. I'll stay on. It's almost morning anyway.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. Would you like me to fix us some breakfast?
Oh, say, that's not a bad idea if you feel up to it.
Oh, I don't know how I feel. You stay right where you are. Won't take me more than a few minutes.
All right.
Okay, that's all the sound you're going to make, sister. The gun's loaded. If you've got ideas about yelling for help, remember this. Bullets get to you quicker than help. Now let's get out of here, by the service door, like I come in.
But, Simon...
And the boyfriend, you write him a letter from where you're going. If you're lucky, sister. And I hope you're lucky. You're too pretty to enjoy dying so quick.
Francis, what are you cooking? Steak? Francis, I don't intend to oversee your cooking, but... Francis. Francis.
Oh, here she is, Mr. Barker.
Yeah. Nice work, Jess.
Hi. I want to know what this is all about.
Yeah, I bet you do. You and me both, baby. What'd you do with the stones?
The stones?
Yeah. The chorus girl's delight, the old man's charm, the stones.
Oh, you mean jewels. I don't have any.
Maybe not on you, but you're going to tell us where they are, won't you, baby?
Suppose I don't know.
I wouldn't care to believe that.
Well, you'd better start, because I don't know.
All right. I'll start not believing you. Jake.
Yeah?
I don't believe her. I don't think she's behaving right.
You don't, huh?
I don't.
Ah, okay, Mr. Barker.
What are you going to do?
I'll slap you around a bit. It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me, too.
Oh, no, you can't.
Want to bet?
Hold it a minute, Jake. I'll get it. Yeah?
Barker?
Who are you?
Simon Templer. You've got Francis Blake there, haven't you?
It's your phone call.
You must have. Listen, if you don't hurt her in any way, I'll get you the stones you're looking for. She doesn't know where they are.
Matter of fact, where are the stones?
The Carter Cleaner's shop.
Look, don't hand me that. We already been through the joint.
But you didn't know where to look.
Yeah? That could be a deal. Okay. But your girlfriend will be under a gun all the time. First funny move and she gets it.
No funny moves.
We'll be seeing you. Okay, Jake, we're going visiting. Maybe we'll trade in a babe for the stones. If the stones are handed over. If they ain't, we'll just trade her in.
Good morning, and... Oh, you were here last night.
That's right, Mr. Maxson. I was looking for a plaid coat.
Plaid?
Yes, maybe it would be here on this rack.
Oh, it wouldn't be there. You see... This rack is for dresses.
And this is for last night. Sorry to have upset you, Mr. Maxson, but company's coming and I've got to set the table for them.
Joint looks clean. No blue uniforms around. Park it, Jake.
Okay.
Here we go, baby.
I can walk by myself.
Yeah, I know, but I enjoy your company.
Simon!
Hello, Francis.
You Templar?
That's right.
Simon, I...
Hey, stay next to me, sister.
I better just lock the door so we won't be interrupted. All right, where are the stones?
Yeah, they're in the place here. They must be.
I don't like the sound of that. It could be a stall. What's that?
And Mr. Maxson, he fell down while he was pressing some suits or something.
Yeah? Get up, Maxson. Come on.
Hello, Mr. Barker.
Hello, rat.
Oh, you don't have to talk that way, Mr. Barker. I can't help it if the stones were stolen from me, if the woman double-crossed me.
This babe here?
Yeah. Why don't you work her over, Mr. Barker, and her boyfriend? After all, they're the ones who killed Olga, aren't they? It was a narrow partner.
Never mind Olga. I like the kid. I sent her out of the job. She got it. Business, you got to cut your losses when you have to. I still want the stones. Are you?
They are here. They have to be.
Then find them.
I've looked, but they're hidden cleverly.
You sound like a guy up a tree, mister, and in just a couple of seconds, I'm going to cut that tree down.
Tree? Hey, wait a minute. Tree? Suppose you wanted to hide a tree so you couldn't find it. Where would you hide it?
I ain't interested in hiding trees.
You'd hide it in a forest, of course. Therefore, going through the place, I noticed... Francis, go through that dress rack.
Dress rack?
Find a dress, any dress, that doesn't seem to belong.
Well, all right.
Hey, I don't get it, boss. Who wants to hide a tree?
Get up, Jake. Maybe it's that simple.
Simon, I'm not sure what you mean, but this shop is in a pretty expensive neighborhood. All the dresses here are very good ones, except this one. It's quite cheap, covered with cheap rhinestones.
Let me have it. Yes, of course, it doesn't belong here. Why is it here? Because it's a forest.
Looks like a rag to me, not like a forest.
Then suppose you take another look at some of the rhinestones on
it.
Let
me have it. Hey.
Yeah, most of the things sewn on that dress are cheap rhinestones, but among them...
are the genuine stones, the ones we've been looking for. Well, nice work, Maxon.
I didn't know anything about it. Somebody else must have done it. The frame here...
No kidding.
Wait a minute, Barker. Wait.
For what? I'm going to tell you something, Maxon.
No, Barker,
You sure told him.
Never did like a double crosser. Hey, yo, where you going?
Well, it occurred to me you mightn't like witnesses either. Francis, stay behind me.
Hey, what are you...
Pressing machine filled up quite a lot of steam pressure. I kicked the outlet pipe off and it aimed at you. You better scram, Barker, unless you want to get parboiled.
Fire!
Hey, it's getting too hot in here. Come on.
Let's go.
You leaving us?
Oh, they've gone.
Yes, Francis, but not for long. The police won't have much trouble picking them up with them all... forgive me, but I can't resist it. With them all steamed up.
Simon, I'm terribly grateful, but I can't resist...
Francis.
...asking you what it was all about.
Oh, an intellectual, huh? Well, you see, Francis, Maxon and Barker were partners in the jewelry business. Illegitimate.
Oh.
They worked out a nice idea. They'd use very distinctive clothes left with the cleaning shop as disguises for themselves and their confederates.
Oh, and disguises which couldn't be traced because they'd lead back only to perfectly innocent people who had alibis and everything.
Mm-hmm, right. And the last job they did involved a girl who wore your plaid coat while stealing the jewels.
Oh.
Maxon, however, decided he wanted all the jewels for himself, so he killed the girl and hid the stones.
And Olga?
He had to kill Olga because she suspected something wrong and came to this apartment because that's where the plaid coat came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how did you know that Maxon had killed her?
Back in the shop, he said Olga had been killed in this apartment. How did he know that?
Because he'd killed her. Oh, Simon, what would I have done without you?
The question is, what are you going to do with me?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, our cast tonight included Shirley Mitchell, Viola Vaughn, Larry Dobkin, Lou Merrill, Tony Barrett, and Jack Moyles. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The music was composed and conducted by Vaughn Dexter. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Programs, get your programs here. Tomorrow night, tune here for Nightbeat. Hear the unusual tales uncovered by reporter Randy Stone as he searches Chicago after dark for human interest stories. Tomorrow night and every Monday night, hear Nightbeat. And then stay tuned for the first piano quartet. Next, Sam Spade cuts a caper. Then Rose Bampton sings on NBC.
Thank you for listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAP.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.